This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 777, Jackpot. I'm Brian Kilby. With me this week, we did not have Don.
Is that what we want?
We want Don. We love Don.
I know, I'm joking.
TFradio.net/honeymoon and follow him on Twitter at that HMRC for EDR.
The audience wants Don. They demand Don.
The audience demands Don. This is true. This is factual. Yeah. That was Matt, Diecast before him. Rob's here.
Hello.
Chris is here. Mm-hmm. So, man, lots of stuff going on in the world. Yeah, we were so in pre-show, we were talking about Star Trek. So if you are a patron and you listen to the pre-show, there's some slight, meaningless, insignificant spoilers for Star Trek Picard Season 2.
It's May the 4th, and you're talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, we're spoiling.
All Star Wars all day long.
I celebrate Star Trek even more on May the 4th. I tolerate Star Wars. Like, my favorite Star Wars movie...
I'm looking forward to Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Lando is my favorite Star Wars character. I think my favorite Star Wars movie could be, I don't know, Empire or New Hope. Then then it falls off dramatically. I don't know if there is a good Star Wars movie after like 1980. Is there?
I like them.
Rogue One, I guess.
No.
I know it's very divisive. It's probably the third best Star Wars movie. Then there's not very many good ones. Yeah, it is. Yep. Yep.
The Force Awakens is perfectly fine as long as you ignore that anything came after it whatsoever.
I'm not going to open up that bag of worms.
Mandalorian. Because
I like a lot of stuff they did in The Last Jedi, quite frankly. A lot of stuff, not everything.
And then they threw it all away for Rise of Skywalker. So, you know.
Thanks, JJ.
Let's not go into that.
But this is Radio Free Cybertron. This is Radio Free Cybertron, the internet's oldest Transformers podcast. We are the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999, and we're all old and tired and varying degrees of depressed. So, what's in the plugs or news or whatever? Just change the subject already, Kilby.
Hey, so there's news. Transformers Tuesday reveals you get a red cog now
with a bunch of nifty weapons.
I don't get it now.
Somewhat less red than I was expecting.
Is it the Target exclusive?
Yes.
Yes. When do I get it?
Later.
So it's a weapons pack.
When will then be now?
Yes. When will then be now?
Soon.
What's included?
That's the one thing I saw pictures and I ran right over to Target. Well, not, you know, on my phone. I pulled out Target.com and I was like, oh, it's not available yet.
Yeah, none of the stuff is ready for pre-order yet because Target hasn't decided to put it up for pre-order yet. And apparently they're not telling Hasbro when they're doing it either. So Hasbro can tell us.
So it's Netflix themed, the weapons.
It's a Netflix background red cog that comes with weapon accessories inspired by the Netflix show. Hooray.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the photos. It actually has an adapter to plug into RC.
Yeah, one of the guns is basically a 5mm port extender.
Why specifically RC?
Because they did it in the show. Yeah, in one scene in the show.
Oh, that's right.
Backpack, yeah. But the toy can't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
But it can now.
Yeah.
Kingdom is like the least bad of the trilogy, but it's still not really worth watching.
Unfortunately, I checked out after Siege, so.
You know,
you say unfortunately.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember that scene, but.
I made it halfway through Earthrise.
Hey, okay, so cool. RC takes cog on as a backpack in the episode where they're bartering with Sound Blaster.
Oh, very early.
Which was in Siege.
Oh, maybe I did watch Earthrise.
That was close to the end of the season, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was... Okay, yeah. Well, I don't even remember.
I'm going to have to watch that again. Yeah. Or maybe I won't.
But anyway, it's a weaponizer, and I want it.
Yeah, well, that's good.
It's a weaponizer that comes with even more modular
guns. Even more weapons, yeah.
Yeah. All the guns split into like two pieces and you can rearrange the parts and everything, and there's an Energon canister in there. Like, there's a bunch of stuff in there, and oddly enough, from Transformers Prime, one of Wheeljack's grenades. Which you can see in one of these pictures where it's badly photoshopped onto cog as armor.
I can get you a pterosaur too, or nice pretty one.
No thanks.
Toy colors.
Yeah, I like it. I love it, actually. The colors.
I like the robot mode. The beast mode doesn't look so great.
Yeah, well.
The beast mode is accurate to the original toy. I want to stress that. But somehow the original toy looked okay decoed that way. And that's not translating to the newer toy.
Well, like with the generally speaking, with the Kingdom Dinobot, I mean, Beast Wars toys, like the robot mode is pretty good, pretty great. And the beast mode suffers.
Well, I mean, I like Pterosaur's beast mode in the Amazon release deco. It's just the toy deco specifically applied to this toy's beast mode does not come off well somehow. Yeah.
I think when the blue ankles are under it rather than behind it, that there's just that big unbroken pile of red on top, and that kind of messes with it. That might
be, yeah.
You get your naked Dinobot too, which we saw.
Not naked, plucked.
The plucked chicken.
He is obviously wearing knee-high copper boots and a copper cod piece. He's not naked.
So let's be very clear about that. Were the Velociraptors that I guess the genera or whatever. Velociraptors, were they feathered?
That's the general belief, yeah. Yes.
So, okay, so that it's thematic. It's appropriate.
It's KFC Dinobot.
Yeah.
Or Purdue Dinobot.
Purdue.
Tyson oh, that's Dinobot, even better. Whatever.
Purdue would be a little bit yellower, I think.
Or Dinobot.
Yeah, yeah. Tyson, probably. That would be a little bit more of a pinkish.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's based... These are both based on the original Beast Wars toys. The original Beast Wars Dinobot toy did not look this much like plucked chicken. That just seems to be because they mixed the colors not quite in the right direction for this.
You know, yeah. Well,
do you think it could be the way it's photographed or processed, and in person it might be okay?
Well, see, I was thinking that we had a leaked photo of this last week, you remember? And it looked
plugged, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked just the same. I thought that one might have been bad lighting, but these stock photos, like, the person they have doing most of these photos now is good at their job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the colors look basically the same. It seems like they lean this color mix more toward, like, the red or pink end of this color, and the original toy is more to, like, the brown or yellow range.
Yeah
Hey, and I think that is what made all the difference.
Hey, you know how everybody wanted another repaint of that Starscream mold from Bumblebee?
yeah
well, now you
citation,
get it as,
citation needed.
Yeah, now you get it as Thundercracker.
No, I actually did want another one because they have to.
Somebody had to.
The set.
No, there's no set. It's just Starscream in the movie. So
there's a bunch of Seekers. They just didn't all become characters.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Thrust was in there. I assume Thundercracker. There's probably a Skywarp in there too.
Was it the same model? Colors.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, forget what I said.
They're Seekers.
Redact that statement.
Redacted. It's redacted.
Yeah. I just don't care. I that's something I gave to Goodwill.
I don't want the toy, but the deco looks nice.
What about that Galvatron?
Well, I mean, it probably needs to exist.
Yeah, it's not like a swarm of bees, though.
That's what I said in the post.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That might have been the excerpt line. It might not be in the body of the post, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't look that good.
No.
Like, there's just something, well, there's a lot of things off with it. But
yeah.
I mean, I made some points in the blog post about that. Unique Toys Nero is generally considered to be a very good interpretation of this design, but, you know, that costs substantially more, doesn't have any safety regulations to abide by, and can have as many parts and little pieces as it wants, and also nobody cares, nobody manufacturing it cares if it takes 45 to 70 minutes to transform it every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This at, you know, $35 with a limited parts count and a general concept of that somebody needs to be able to actually work with this toy at some point, you know, we're going to have a little bit of a different result. At the same time, it's not the Age of Extinction toy where an entire robot is just folded and stuffed up into a cab shell, which then collapses, admittedly elegantly, onto the back. I actually like that feature of the Age of Extinction toy, but like nobody was claiming it was a good transformer because it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, here's the difference between a third party and Hasbro in a quick, easy, a third party is one or more people that is a company. So sometimes they don't have to abide by parts count, stuff like that. Now, Hasbro has all those things because there's a specific amount of profit that they need to make since they're a publicly traded company, which in other news is, if you see, Hasbro is not selling to Russia right now.
Yeah,
they have to increase prices here.
Hasbro also has to sell to assortments. They have to have an assortment right. that they sell, like sell to Walmart, Target, that's predictable with, to use the point parts counts.
The real point I wanted to make is that they have to make a certain amount of profit because they're publicly traded and their shareholders want that. So they'll increase prices here because they're losing that profit overseas. So it's one of those where, you know, the cost gets directly passed down to us, where a smaller company may actually be able to absorb some of those costs.
Well, yeah, but Unique Toys Nero costs like tremendously more than this Galvatron's going to cost.
Yeah, like I would say like that the, Hasbro the can point. Absorb Hasbro can absorb the cost, and sometimes they do. It's not just something that, you know, that happens sometimes. Working for a major corporation, I understand there are times when the corporation is actually the one that absorbs the cost. Where I don't see Fans Toys or whoever doing that because they can't afford to, because they don't make billions of dollars.
And, you know, in the case of Nero versus this Galvatron, the most important thing to remember with it is that they have to convince Walmart to carry a toy, and they're going to have a lot better chance of doing that with a $35 toy than one that Walmart's going to have to try to sell for $200 at about the same size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter how nice it looks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I get where you're going, Diecast, but just generally speaking, Hasbro can absorb it where, you know, like a garage kit couldn't.
In any case, as a transformer, this is going to be better than the other one because it actually does transform and integrate the alt mode parts and robot mode parts more. It does seem like you maybe use a little bit more paint, but you know, gotta lose out somewhere.
Yeah. I'm not getting it.
I'm not getting either of these, but I don't really get much of the movie stuff anyway.
I am getting, however, wave one of the Transformers Super 7 Ultimates.
Finally get the basketball.
Yeah, Autobase Aichi has mirrored photos. And
So the picture originally came from Super 7's website. It's on their pre-order status update page, which is very long and, you know, admittedly, over time is not going to have the same content on it, so it seemed better to go with the mirror where it's just that, and it's probably going to stay there indefinitely.
I can't wait.
I really like the packaging on these two.
Yeah.
Because, like, Optimus Prime and Starscream have the grid line pattern and, like, the original font of the Transformers on it, but when you get to your Action Master characters, you know, Banzaitron and Bombshell, the font on the box changes to the later style. They look so good.
I mean, Starscream doesn't look that great, but the packages are neat.
Yeah, and it looks like I should be able to repackage them pretty easily, so I am excited about opening them and playing with them and putting them back in. Mm. Yeah, Starscream doesn't look great.
No.
Kind of like the toy head with them, though.
Probably the only one I'll ever get is the Alligator Con, but still, they look really nice.
Yeah, so their pre-order status page notes that waves 2 and 3 are entering the tooling stage with the factory currently.
Sweet. That is excellent news. Let's see here. Wow, we're churning through the news. Last news item that we have. So we saw this a while back. It looks like it's up for pre-order now. I like Chris's headline. If Robos and Optimus Prime is a little bit too much toy for you, you can get the Transformers Optimus Prime converting RC vehicle. Is this Jada? Who's making this?
You know, that's a very good Jada. Question. Probably says somewhere there.
It's it Jada. It is. Yeah, it is Jada. I thought it was. It looks so stupid. I love it. Like, it just looks chintzy in a charming way.
Yeah, it's just somehow it just gets on the far side of the line where the you know, cheap transforming knockoffs in this style.
Yeah.
Just manages to clear that bar just barely, but enough so that it's kind of neat.
Yeah, the awkward way his arms stick out, his legs are awkward. I don't know if it's $70, hideously adorable, but
yeah, that's kind of the thing. I'm seeing this more as like, you know, 40 maybe
clearance. Yeah.
No, 40 should be the original price.
Well,
clearance down to 25.
Hmm. I mean, the vehicle mode looks great, though, of course, as you would expect.
Well, it's a box on wheels. It's hard to mess that up.
That is true. Yeah.
I'll probably say it hasn't been done before, Robot Masters, but...
Yeah. I'll probably get it, so...
Yeah, I mean, I took one look at that and knew, oh, Brian's getting this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, Don does kind of have a point. He says it looks like someone took a Rescue Bot's mold, blew it up, and added a motor. And yeah, yeah, nice. It does kind of remind me of the Rescue Bot's Optimus Prime now that he mentioned it.
In a lot of ways, yeah. I see
well,
that.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go down that road, I want somebody to take the Rescue Bot's adjacent, the Grimlock motorcycle, turn that into an RC toy.
Oh. Cool. Okay. Anything anybody want to talk about specifically that we haven't talked about recently? Anything like pressing on you? Because we are a little early. We could jump into what we got this week.
I mean, you kind of rushed us through the news, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of.
Didn't even plug anything before we got into the news, or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, you told me to go to the news, remember, because we were...
Well, I just told you to change the subject.
Well, go to the news, but...
Yeah. I suggested plugs or the news or whatever, just well, change the subject.
I just do what I'm told.
Yeah, we could talk about Star Wars some more.
No, it's not. Hey, okay.
I mean, when we get to what we got this week, we ultimately will, but not for long.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
Well, since I just started that off, I can do it.
Great.
Okay, so I got a fair amount of stuff this week. I got from Deep Discount, I did actually get what I ordered, which was...
Oh, I need to mention my stuff, too. I got my stuff that I ordered, part of it.
Yeah. I got Kingdom Tigatron for $10, which was... It's a really nice figure for $10. Having finally handled it myself, yeah, it does feel like a second pass on the Cheetor design more than just upscale of that design, because there's just a lot of the little things it does better than the Cheetor version of the mold. And also, as I was mentioning on Twitter, it comes with the gun, which, since that does not figure into the beast mode at all anymore, means that Tigatron is now carrying a gun made out of someone's intestines. But yeah, that's a good figure for $10. I think it is actually yellowing a little bit, but I mean, that's also accurate to the original, so what the hell. I also, just because I'm not never going to do any of it at full price, got some Masters of the Universe stuff off of there.
Nice.
I got the Revelations He-Man and Skeletor, and they're not bad. They're growing on me, I think. The articulation is nice. They're just something I feel like the problem I'm having with those is that for a modernized version of Masters of the Universe, the 2002 sculpts are just so much better. I know there's like no articulation to speak of on those toys, but the sculpts on them I feel like is amazing. So I also got Origins He-Man and Battle Armor Skeletor, because I have really fond memories of that Battle Armor Skeletor. And with the Origins stuff, at least the ones I got, kind of having that kind of like retro Headmasters packaging thing, where there's just enough different from the original that it's kind of just gnawing on the fussier parts of my brain and just do not want to, quite accept them for what they are. Cause it's like, they're trying to be, articulated versions of the originals, but there's just details that's off apparently they did a better head sculpt for He-Man at some point. I did not get that. It's the first issue. The battle axe, of course, is missing a lot of the like detailing from the original. Just little things like that just slowly driving me insane, like I needed help. Also from them, I got Star Wars Vintage Collection Lando, which Empire Strikes Back version, which I did not have one of yet. And it looks like they did a pretty good job on the cape in particular.
That's the best Lando. The Bespin Lando?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good looking figure, so I'm happy to have that. I don't do a lot of Star Wars toys anymore, but every once in a while, especially when they're good and cheap, like, yeah. And I did not have a Lando from Empire yet, so that's a good thing to have. Also got a random robot model kit from a Good Smile Company line called Modroid that I have never seen before, but it's a VOTOMS tie-in, so it kind of looks like a Bionicle cosplaying an armored trooper. It's really kind of weird.
That'd be Moderoid, probably.
Moderoid. Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah. Odroid, Moderoid. Moderoid makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But probably.
I didn't mean to, well, actually, you. It just seems like, you know, that's probably the intent.
Yeah. If I were translating it, I might have gone with Modeloid, in fact. But, you know.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit cleaner in English.
Yeah. As always, you know, wordplay, a Japanese wordplay is a bear to translate. So, but yeah, I haven't built that yet, but it looks pretty good. So I, you know, I'm like a couple of gunpla behind as it is. So, let's see. I also got two other things. When the, sales, for today started, I finally got, the art of the Force Awakens. So I now have, the art books for all 9 of the numbered Star Wars movies. So,
oh, sweet.
That's something I've kind of been wanting to finish off for a while. And the last thing I got, probably my favorite thing actually out of what I've gotten this week, but also just kind of confusing in a sense. I found out like over the last weekend, the existence of the Tiny Arcade Atari 2600.
What?
It's part of the world's smallest line, just like those little tiny little Transformers you find at Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a little console TV with an LCD screen, an Atari 2600 that's like an inch and a half across, and a joystick that's like, you know, an inch square.
Mm-hmm.
And it does actually play games.
What? Really?
Yeah, on a tiny, like, inch and a half LCD screen. Here's where it gets weird, though, because whatever is on there is not actually Atari 2600 games. Tempest and Centipede are pretty obviously, like, different versions. Might be the arcade, might just be ports for other systems. One of the, like, features shouted out on the box is Atari Pac-Man. And I played enough Atari Pac-Man as a child to know that this is not the original ROM. For one thing, the Energizer sound is just looped and includes the sound of eating ghosts.
Could it be possible that they had given, like, I mean, even in 2022, though, like, you know, there are no constraints when it comes to memory.
Yeah.
Like, so Atari Pac-Man, I don't know how big it was, 2K or however big, like, there's, you know, that is effectively free when it comes to storage.
Yeah. So I'm my pet theory, and I have no way of knowing this, is that what's actually in there is probably Famiclone hardware. And we're looking at an NES port of Atari 2600 Pac-Man, because there's just enough little differences in the gameplay and the sound.
You mean like a bespoke, that it's
not the original.
A bespoke port just for this. I don't know of a port of 2600 Pac-Man for.
Yeah, I think it is, in fact, a bespoke port for this, because these are the same people who made the little TMNT arcade machine with the, from what I understand, really horrible all new version of the arcade game.
Hmm.
So yeah, there's that's. Yeah. So yeah, somebody actually made in the 2020s a port of Atari 2600 Pac-Man that is in a few minor ways not as good as the original.
That's amazing, actually.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The whole thing is insane.
It is. Yeah. And it's just but the thing is adorable. It does play games. And just for the sheer, you know, absurdity of what is on it, and the fact that you could not play any game that I've tried on it so far on an original Atari 2600 in the state it's presented here, it's just, you know, it was well worth the money just for the, you know, the charm and the comedy value. So
how much was it?
It was like, I think, $25 off of eBay. On Amazon, it was running a little more when it was on there, but I forget where I saw this, but I just kind of, I saw it and I went, that's cute. I want it. And yeah, I'm glad I got that. That's, like I said, that's probably provided me the most like amusement out of everything I've gotten this week. So I am really, pretty happy with that. And I think I just burned us 10 minutes. So we're good.
Sweet. Cool. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I got, I don't usually talk about off topic stuff, but I kind of like this guy. I got Groot, and he's teenage Groot. So he's from the Thor Love and Thunder. One thing I really like is that Hasbro slash Hasbro Pulse you know, basically talked about this and put this up for order. And I thought it was a pre-order, and I thought it was going to take, like, you know, a year to get, like, most of the stuff they're coming out with. And I got it right away, and I'm actually happy, you know, that it came so quick. And it makes me wish that we were, you know, at that stage again, when we would learn about product and get it, you know, a week or two later.
Because that movie comes out in 2 months, so they were going to have those toys ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just seems, it just reminds me that like, we're learning about stuff for next year already.
Like, and I wait for the theater out to go see it.
Nice.
I'm also going to see Multiverse Madness tomorrow, but I did not rent the theater.
It'll be Sunday before I get to see it. So.
Yeah.
That's when it was available to rent a theater.
Which is weird, because you'd think that would be a day that where there was a fair amount of traffic, but
yeah, I know.
Sunday's always when I go, because there's nobody there.
But like, you know, there's not a lot of other movies out that, you know, are filling theaters, so they probably had some capacity.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I got was Hot Rod.
What do you think?
Well, he hasn't opened it yet.
No. He hasn't opened it yet.
That's right.
He looks good in the box.
Yeah, leave it in the box.
That's largely the extent of it. I think you will like the vehicle mode and probably be entertained by the transformation.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably open it tomorrow.
It's no Iguanas.
Well, it kind of, like, if you put Iguanas and Hot Rod together for their positive qualities, you'd get like a really good core class toy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they're kind of opposite of each other otherwise.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Matt, what'd you get?
All right. So I picked up Legacy Bulkhead.
What do you think?
So originally I was not going to get this because I didn't like the initial looks of it, but when you see it in hand, the proportions are actually way better.
Pretty nice.
I mean, his entire torso is one big chunk of clear plastic that's just painted over, and you know, he's empty on the inside like us.
Like, thank you for saying that.
But I mean, other than that, I actually really like him. Like I said, I wasn't going to get him originally, but because he is Bulkhead, I got him because I love me some Transformers animated. He has some things like these little wheels behind his head in robot mode. I don't know what those are there for, because they just fold up behind the cab.
Absolutely nothing.
In truck mode. So they're visible wheels hanging off the back of the cab. I don't get it.
Are they flat on the back of the cab?
Yeah.
They're probably supposed to be spare tires.
But still, I mean, they're completely unnecessary. They just kind of get in the way for transformation. They could have done without that.
I mean, it's probably the same philosophy as the realistic animal forms for the Kingdom Beast Wars stuff. It's realistic.
Transformation took me a minute to figure out because he does a lot of unfolding around the waist. But yeah, I'm actually surprisingly happy with that one. And yeah, you know, I was, like I said, I waffled on back and forth on picking him up, but you know, since some of the other legacy stuff I saw, I don't need like Kickback, like or RC, I'm good without those. So Bulkhead got the go ahead. And I also got Legacy Drag Strip.
Oh, I still need the million.
Nice. Legacy.
I sent you an email saying never mind.
If it needs a home now.
Okay. I can change it to Chris.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. I freaking love Drag Strip. He has his issues, don't get me wrong, but I mean, robot mode, he's a solid little robot mode, like no hollow spaces on the back, really. All you get for hollow spaces are like at his knees and a little bit on the inside of the arms. Good looking robot mode. Brian, I know you weren't happy with the way he transforms, but I freaking love it.
Yeah, I have very mixed opinions on the toy. The deco is really boring, and it's boring.
He's Drag Strip. Yeah. He was always just a blob of yellow. They didn't put the red racing stripe.
But back. I like that he's so different than the Combiner Wars toys.
Do you remember what they did to the Unite Warriors version of Combiner Wars Drag Strip? Yep. They didn't add wheels. They just painted or molded the shoulder block in black. Yeah, so he had two wheels in front and then two big black squares behind them that you had to pretend were wheels. Oh, Takara.
Yeah.
But so he does some neat transformation steps. So his head and chest pull forward.
Yeah.
And then like flip end over or rotate end over end. And then the shoulders collapse up behind the head to form the front of the car. And I mean, you know, his legs just straight up Combiner Wars aerial bot. But
yeah, they got to love that mechanism after they started introducing it.
Yeah. So I said there were a couple issues, like not anything you're not expecting, because since he does separate at the waist for combined mode, you know, he gets a little jiggle. The connection there has some play, but that means when you collapse the legs forward to meet the front half of the car, there's still that little bit of play between them. So it doesn't really lock down as much as you would like and leaves a little bit of a gap in the car, at least on my copy. And the rear wheels, I mean, you can see how much clearance you have there. Basically, you have zero clearance. So this toy in car mode is not going to roll anywhere. It's going to drag the back end. And since the spoilers are his feet, when they fold forward, you know, that's all you get. It's a flat surface. This is not going to be generating any downforce for a car. It actually points up a little bit. So, but like I said, that's a minor nitpick. I mean, these things are either going to be in robot mode or Menasor mode anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I am actually super happy with Dragstrip. Like, if this is an indication of what the other Stunicons are, I'm going to be super happy. If he's an outlier, I'm at least going to be happy with Dragstrip.
Right.
So, and that is all I got this week.
I'll go next and let Chris go last, since he apparently got something cool. So,
I mean, you may be overinflating your expectations here, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I work a flex schedule at work. I can go to the office or I can stay home and work from home. And I've been going to the office way less than I expected. But I was at my desk yesterday, and lo and behold, the Jada Transformers metallic miniatures.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, they were on my desk waiting for me. And this is something I've been wanting. I just haven't run across it. And it was from a Secret Admirer. I found out today that Secret Admirer was Dusty, my buddy Dusty from the RPGLL podcast. And he was like, hey, did you get those Transformers? I'm like, oh, it was you. So, very happy. He got the G.I. He got these and the G.I. Joe. He just got the Renegade Studios G.I. Joe core rule book for the role-playing game. So, We'll be using the G.I. Joes for that. And for when the Transformers one comes out, I'm certain we'll be doing that with this. So, I don't think I mentioned this last week. I got Galvatron.
The unpainted.
Mention it last week, but you had just picked it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. So I've opened it. He's nice. Worth getting. But I got my deep discount toys. They canceled my premium Deco Optimus Primes that I ordered. They were cheap, like $15, so I ordered two. Got zero. And the only other thing I ordered, I ordered two Castle Grey Skulls, and those came. So now I have three of them. So
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something I ordered like at the beginning of the show last week. It's the Imperial Toys Pepsi promotional knockoff GoBot. So it's Water Walk.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Huh. Basically, you buy 4 2-liters of Pepsi products and list them on the back. So like Pepsi Slice, Diet Slice, Pepsi Free, Diet Pepsi.
I haven't thought about Slice in a long time.
Yeah, me neither.
I forgot about Pepsi Free.
Yeah, so.
Although I like that
Pepsi kid, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah. I like that's so old that it's got the Mountain Dew logo that's on throwback Mountain Dew
in
modern times.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this was one of the
couple. Is a flat circle.
Yeah, it's true. This is, this was one of the couple that they did. Jeeper Creepers. There might have been another one.
Did it yellow in the package?
No. Maybe. I mean,
it certainly could have.
The bubble is yellowed, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see where it meets the card.
Yeah.
So I bought at Shardicon that one year an oversized knockoff of Robot Master's R-Blade, the Cyberjet recolor.
Oh,
And that tremendously yellowed in the package over the course of the next couple of years. I still have it somewhere, but it just makes me sad to look at. So it's in a bin somewhere.
Mm.
A slight tangent just for the yellowing topic.
Yeah. But that's what I got this week.
Okay, so my thing is I got Core Class Studio Series Spike.
Nice.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter. That is not what I thought.
That came off of Amazon.
I was thinking you got something else.
Well, that's why I said you might be overinflating your expectations.
But I want that too. I can't wait to see that.
It's pretty decent. It's at least the equal of Iguanas, I think, in overall Core Class quality. The interesting thing about it is, well, the yellowing is probably not going to be like an immediate problem because that seems to have been occurring on the nylon plastic sprues on the toys, and all the nylon plastic on this is the like bluish gray color. So like that can discolor still, but it's probably not going to so quickly turn, you know, ugly brownish tinted white like, you know, Ratchet or any of those are doing. What's really funny about this to me is like, typically the unpaintable plastic is used in places like where there's ball joints and sockets. This actually uses some of the white plastic sprue, which is regular like ABS or whatever, and fully paints those in that bluish gray color. And that's what the thighs are made up over time, because that kind of thing.
It is available right now.
Oh, that's good. When I looked earlier today, it was not in stock.
Yeah, so this is the first time I've actually been able to catch it on Amazon to order it.
How long is the delivery window on it?
May 23rd to June 1st.
Well, that's not terrible. That's about the same window as when I pre-ordered it originally. I kind of think that with some of these, especially like the smaller stuff like this, Amazon is not maintaining a large like direct inventory, and they're just having the stuff brought to them from their distributors as they need it. And that's why a lot of this stuff is showing consistently like 2 to 4 week delivery times, because it's probably not really worth it to them to devote warehouse space to these. Mm. So I've never actually had the chance to handle the Masterpiece version of this. Everybody who has handled both says that this is actually more articulated than that.
I'm not surprised.
I'm sure this is a little bit smaller, and the Masterpiece one might transform a little bit more elegantly. This one, like it turns into the little buggy thing well enough. It's not like floppy. Everything kind of has a place to lock in, but it's not like particularly elegant looking to me. One thing I did notice with this is like, it's not exactly obvious. There's little ridges on the front of the thighs, and then there's a like super shallow flange inside the top of the pelvis. And you have to actually push that over and it will snap in a little bit. And if you don't, the legs won't lock in correctly. But like at first, it does not feel like the legs want to go that far. It's kind of like the skids thing again, but you don't have to do quite as much excessive force to get over that hurdle the first time. But like it's easy to miss just because it feels like it wants to stop before it gets there. I mean, kind of the neatest touch of this, and we knew about this already, though, there's the little lever on the back so you can turn Spike's head in the dome a little bit, but Spike is like, you know, the Masterpiece human figures where there's no facial details painted on, so it's a little creepy looking. I have seen from mostly overseas pictures where people were, I'm pretty sure, legitimately getting these some weeks ago, the torso of this can be taken apart and the dome popped off and the head taken out and replaced with something else. And just, you know, from what I have on hand here, the Mega Constructs minifigure heads look like they're about the same size as the Spike head that's in there. So, you know, if you want to be a little bit enterprising with this and, you know, get something in there where the Mega Constructs head could sit on there securely, like you could put just about anything inside this dome and have any sort of character you want. You could have Captain Picard wearing an exosuit, for instance. Like there's a lot of interesting possibilities if you want to crack this open and, you know, do a little like really minor customizing with it. And if this becomes more readily available and the price maybe goes down a couple dollars, like Shockwave and Ravage have been doing on Amazon here and there, like I almost might want to get some spares just to make some wacky custom exosuits.
So what is the Picard reference? Like if you said like Tholian Webb Kirk, I would get that.
It's just the first Mega Constructs thing that came to mind.
Okay.
You can put a Borg drone head in here if you want to. Data, you know, if there's a lot of, you can put He-Man in here or Skeletor.
Okay, gotcha.
Just, you know, whatever kind of Mega Constructs thing you have around, just because that head is about the same size as Spike's head in there, but these are fully detailed and also can be funny.
Cool. Awesome.
I don't know how much they could really change with this besides swapping out the spike head for, you know, one that does not look like a 35-year-old man to get a Daniel out of it. Like, I'm sure they could tweak the color values a little bit, but I guess if they were willing to do that with the sweep, you know, 10 months after Scourge came out, like, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to do that with a core class toy sometime early next year.
I expect it.
Yeah, but like, I don't see a whole lot they could really practically change on this. The Blast Effect parts are like a solid plastic, so maybe they won't like melt the surrounding regular plastic anymore like the old ones did. But they're not like particularly impressive or anything. It's more impressive that just they exist in the first place, because Blast Effect kind of fell off the radar, seemingly as the Transformers team itself kind of went through a turnover. But yeah, that's all I had to talk about this week.
Cool. Let's see here. I want to thank our patrons at the Touch tier. If you're a patron at the Touch tier, you can be on the History on the Fives every episode. Rob hosts that. It's a lot of fun. I've been playing catch up, and I just posted a few episodes to our Patreon last week, and those will be hitting the public feed over the next week and a half or so, maybe week to 2 weeks. But also, if you're a patron at the Touch tier, you get mentioned on the show every week. And we like to do that. Thank everybody. You can find the list at tfradio.net/credits. I need to make a quick update to the site, but I can't at the moment to get everybody on. And like, the beginning of the month is always the best time to join, because you're there for the whole month and you get all the content that we post, and you don't miss out. So, but also at the beginning of the month, sometimes folks, their cards get declined or whatever. So I usually give it a couple weeks before I update the list on the site. So I want to thank our very first patron, Kevin Dorsey, Ryan Bona, Emmett Stresovich, Rabbits, Hector Bones, Ness, Joey Russell, Jay Rye, Sean Hamilton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Boomer, Spider Bob, Tyrell Gwynn, Rick Mahurin, Blake Reynolds, Vegemite Mike, Jason Tate, Eric Griffin, Sabertron Toys, and Sean I. Williamson. Thank you all so much. You guys rock. Thank you. And if you're not on History on the Fives already, shoot me an email at contact@tfradio.net, and we can hook you up if you want to be on. Again, if you're a patron at the Touch tier. Let's see here. Don is not here, but if you want to help him out with his honeymoon, which is coming up, you can go to tfradio.net/honeymoon. It'll take you to his Carnival Cruise GoFundon, or whatever they call it. And you can help him buy like a couple's grooming session?
Massage?
I don't want to think about either of those things, to be honest.
Yeah, so, but that's
can
there.
Can you get him like an extra serving of shrimp at the buffet or something? That's a lot more pleasant to think about. Yeah,
that's true. You can find that at tfradio.net/honeymoon. You can also follow him on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR. Let's see here, John DeLuna, not with us on a weekly basis anymore. He can be found at That John D everywhere.
Also often found in our Discord, tfradio.net.
Yes.
Discord.
Yes, we miss John being on, but being an executive and a full-time parent is...
And I think he has a couple dogs, too. That's not helping.
It's rough. I get it.
Dogs will...
They're Rob dachshunds, Springer. Too. They're needy.
Yeah. Rob Springer not here. Rob Springer on Twitter and at zonebeast.org. I am on Twitter at bkilby, on Instagram at briankilby, and you can find other stuff at briankilby.com. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2. They can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast on Facebook. And also they can see my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews or youtube.com/RFCReviews.
Chris?
I'm also in our Discord a lot, tfradio.net/Discord. You know, come say hi, ask me questions. I usually see all the messages that get posted. I sometimes wish I didn't, but, you know, our crowd is well-behaved, and, you know, I give them a lot of leeway, so everything's fine, usually. We've actually had, like, a really good regular group of people in there, and I'm really happy with our Discord community. I'd love to see some more faces in there, but, like, I love all the people we have.
It's a good active group. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It reminds me a lot of the old days with Ouija on IRC, just for, like, the really focused core group of people that like you just get along with. Everybody's on the same page. It's really cool.
Believe it or not, I am almost always in there. I don't often chat, but I routinely look at it. Yeah. And sometimes I chime in, but I'm a lurker more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, me. I chime in when I need to, or, you know, basically just when I need to.
Yeah.
You know how I am. I'm not like super big on small talk kind of stuff.
Same here.
I usually just sit quietly until I have something to say.
That's me.
On that note, you can find the work I do photographically at playwithphotography.com. There's galleries and articles and things I've done. If you'd like to support that work and help me out a little bit, you can do that on Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos. And if you just want to do some random act of material kindness at me, I have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist.
Cool.
Also, Rob. I do, like, you know, writing at tfradio.net/news if you want to, you know, catch my summaries out and opinions on things.
Yeah, sweet.
Okay, so Rob, yeah. You said me next?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Rob Flails, which is pretty much the Twitter for Flail Throughs, my YouTube channel. I'm kind of talking more about toys and things there more lately. So Flail Throughs, of course, is my YouTube channel, and I'm still doing Gundam games there. Right now it's just Gundam Battle Operation 2 because time, fire, burn, etc.
Yep.
And that's going really well. Game is, you know, going along nicely. Just added the Rezel this week, so we're into some of the higher end Gundam Unicorn units. So nice to see that. Wish I could have gotten it, but, you know,
later.
Yeah, RNG, and it is a gacha game. Just to warn you, if you don't know anything about it, so beware. But it's still fun. But if you like what I'm doing over there, you can support it at patreon.com/flailthroughs. You can make a request for specific rounds using specific mobile suits, weapons, color schemes, that kind of thing. And if you'd rather just, you know, send me something, there is tfradio.net/claylist.
Sweet. Okay. Is that it? We done?
I think.
Awesome. Okay. People watching live, we love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for chatting along with us on Discord and on YouTube. And everybody else, thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.